Hello and welcome to the HP Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast from Handsome Phantom. I'm Ben, and with me here is Dave.
Howdy.
And Brandon.
What's up?
I had to mix it up a little bit. You thought I was going to throw it to you first, Brandon.
Hey, dude, that's okay.
It's always to you first.
On my toes.
So Dave had to, like, you know, anticipate and retaliate or something. I don't know. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. If you are here as a free feed member, we appreciate that. If you're here as a patron, we also appreciate that. You can be a patron by going over to patreon.com/handsomephantom and signing up as little as a dollar a month. And also you can join our Discord, handsomephantom.com/discord. The link's probably in the show notes if I remember correctly. But how are you guys doing this week? Anything happening?
Not a whole lot.
The grind
this week. Yeah. Rise and grind, as they say.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's about it, unfortunately, so far.
Dave, you don't really have anything exciting going on in your life right now, probably.
No, just, you know, 30, flirty, and squirty. Just sort of.
Wow.
No, I'm getting married in 10 days.
He threw you off, just like you said.
Caught you off guard there, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get married in about 10 days. So we're as Robert Downey Jr. would say, we're in the end game now.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, feeling good. Feeling real good.
Now, dude, this has been a long time coming. We may have discussed this on the show in the past. I don't know. But this is like, 2 years almost of like back and forth. Like a year and a half of like back and forth because of COVID stuff and everything. And lots of changes. So I'm glad you're finally getting it done.
Yeah, we've had 3 separate wedding dates, but we're finally getting the job done on August 6th. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what they say, Dave? Third time's the charm.
There you go.
That doesn't work as well for, like, your third wife, though.
Correct.
I think it's mostly, like, everything but that, pretty
much. Right, right.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm glad that Dave's getting married and glad that Brandon has nothing going on in his life. I also have not a lot going on in my life. So
that's right.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way.
No news is good news.
Speaking of no news, there's not a whole lot of news. I mean, there's like a lot of weird industry or industry adjacent stuff happening, but like not a lot of big headlines. But we got a few things for you today. Don't worry. We'll probably talk about some video games. But yeah, I guess that's it. That's pretty much the whole thing I was going to say, because all of us are boring and have nothing going on in our lives.
Fair enough.
Except for the whole wedding thing. That's kind of fun. Let's get right into it then.
Let's
talk about the fact that certain PCs can no longer be sold in select states. This comes courtesy of theregister.com. Says the headline is Dell won't ship energy hungry PCs to California and 5 other U.S. states due to power regulations. Customers seeking to purchase, for example, an Alienware Aurora Ryzen Edition R10 gaming desktop from Dell's website and have it shipped to California are now presented with a message that tells buyers they're out of luck. This product, quote, this product cannot be shipped to the states of California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Vermont, or Washington due to power consumption regulations adopted by those states. Any orders placed that are bound for those states will be canceled. So, this is all driven by the fact that the California Energy Commission defined a mandatory energy efficiency standard for PCs, including desktops, AIOs. What's an AIO?
Hard to say.
And mobile gaming systems. Maybe that's a laptop of some sort. I don't know.
Yeah.
So this went into effect on July 1st, et cetera, et cetera. So far, the only things that are affected across Dell and Alienware, and you know Dell owns Alienware,
right,
is the Alien Aurora R10 and R12 systems. Guys, how do we feel about this? How do we feel about if you live in those states, you can't have this high-end, high-power-hungry PC?
Well,
and don't even think about mining cryptocurrency.
I know. See, my problem with the whole thing is that although I do think it is a noble venture to consume less power, unless you're providing one to everyone in the state, how significant could it possibly fucking be,
right,
for one device in your home to sucking up more power?
first of all, I agree. I'm not.
Tell me honestly, though.
I'm not in favor of government overreach, but I suppose the argument could be made that it's not just one they're worried about. It's a bunch of people getting these high end, you know, high power hungry, whatever PCs.
So what happens if I fill a wall with light bulbs?
Yeah.
And I just screw them all in. That's okay, right?
That's totally fine. Yeah.
All right. There you are. Problem solved.
I mean, I feel like a simpler solution would just be to say, hey, you can use as much energy as you want, but we're jacking the price up.
Yeah, just
so that you're like automatically going to use less because you're going to pay a bunch more for it.
Yeah, dude, just charge like a high electricity tax, like they do with cars, like they do with gas guzzlers.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean?
And think about
same
that.
Same principle.
Yeah.
To discourage.
Yeah, it's really odd that they're restricting like individual products as opposed to just like an entire household. So it's like if your household goes over a certain peak, rather than sort of charging a higher rate, they're actually, like, I assume they're doing with this with like larger appliances, like air conditioning units or like fridges and stuff like that. But it's, I don't know. It just seems really odd to go after like, I don't know, individual products like that when you can just,
It's very weird. Dave, can your AC unit run Call of Duty at 120 frames? You see the difference here. Sometimes you need power. That's what I'm saying.
It's fair.
It's interesting because, so they had some requirements that took place at the beginning of 2019, and then these new requirements just kicked in at the beginning of July that include some thin clients, mobile gaming systems, which, what's a mobile gaming system that would require that much power?
The biggest Galaxy Note.
I don't know.
Honestly, it sounds a little ludicrous in and of itself, but
it also includes at the end of this year computers with high speed networking capability. Now, guys, let me just pause there for a minute. Am I wrong, or does how fast your computer can download information not cost electricity? I suppose you could say that the computer working faster, working more to process that. But like, I kind of think that high speed networking is something we want, right?
Yeah. And I mean, if you break it down, it's like, what's the highest speed internet you can get? Fiber.
Yeah.
It's literally just, you know, light data.
Right.
Passing through glass tubes.
The other thing that's interesting is at the end of the year, or December 9th of this year, multi-screen notebooks, so laptops with
two screens. The DS is done.
The DS is... That's the mobile gaming system right
there. The DS is fucking done. Everybody in California, trade in those DSs right now. All of
Fuck
them.
The 3DS,
the 3DS XL. That's right. The Reckoning.
Notebooks with cyclical behavior, which I assume that's somehow how they source power. And here's the one that really hurts, in my opinion. Monitors with high refresh rates. Now, I don't mean that hurts the environment, obviously. Like, that's the goal here, is to try to help out with energy stuff. And I know that some of these states have energy issues, but monitors with high refresh rates.
But
talk about the gamers having a bad week.
This is very silly to me.
I mean,
and I'm going to tell you why, specifically for one state, California.
Yes.
If they took all of the gaming houses out of Cali, because I'm sure there's a bunch.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah. How much money are we drawing in here? Is there like a diminishing return on this? You cut the power, they leave. It's like, what's the play?
Well, also some of these companies that manufacture these things, now maybe the actual manufacturers aren't in California, but I would think, and California, we're just picking on California, but there's these other states that do include these things too. But I think some of them are headquartered in some of these states.
That's so
that
weird.
Produce these high end things. Not specifically the Dell and Alienware computer that we mentioned earlier, but right. So if you've got a company doing business in your state and you're preventing them from selling certain products to people in your state, yeah, they can still make their money elsewhere, but aren't you losing a significant amount of revenue off of them? I don't know. Seems.
So where do the aliens play into this with the computers?
The streaming thing is kind of interesting because like most Twitch streamers are using like two separate computers. They have their stream PC and the one they're actually gaming on.
Yes.
So like if both of those computers are within the standard, but you still have two of them running. That's still probably taking up more power than one of these Alienware Auroras. So it's like,
right.
It just doesn't make sense.
Very strange.
What if I have a tiny little mini fridge and then I have like a super energy saving air conditioner, or I don't have an air conditioner at all, and I don't have a car, and I don't watch TV, I just use my computer. So I'm using less power than the average household, but I still can't play my Call of Duty at 120 frames.
And you cannot tell me there is not a million Teslas in these states.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know about a million, but
you know what I mean?
There's a lot.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. What, Dave, what are you referring to with the Twitch streaming thing?
Like, I'm just saying, for as an example, like those people will have two separate computers.
Yes.
But if both of those computers are within the threshold, those two computers are still eating up more energy than one of these Alienwares.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, you're going to have to min-max your fucking electricity in your house now in these states.
Man. But it doesn't matter because specific devices are
true
ruled out. Yeah,
true.
So that's an interesting thing. And here's the thing I thought was really interesting. A CEC spokesperson, that's the California Energy Control or whatever it is, told the Register that staff was unaware of vendors not shipping to California as a result of the requirements taking effect. So this may very well be that they ruled out, like, okay, anything that uses more than this much power, and they didn't realize, like, oh, that's going to affect, like, something like a computer.
Yeah.
We were just hoping for people to stop using generators driven off of electricity in their house or something, you know, whatever. But, or maybe they were hoping to, like, curb some of those crypto mining things, you know.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
You know, I'm sure their intent was wholesome to some extent. But I would imagine that once they start realizing that, like, certain things can't even happen in our state... There might be some tunes changing.
Yeah. We'll got to be a little more specific with the regulation.
Or a little less specific.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? All right. Well, I think that's about all for that one. Splitgate. Now, Brandon, you were asking me about this right before the show started. Splitgate has been delayed due to server overload. And this story is from Game Informer. And Splitgate, you guys, I think both... have seen or played Splitgate in the past, right?
I played it. Yeah, I played it at PAX.
At PAX, yeah. Yep. So it was basically the tagline they use, and I think it was because someone wrote an article that said this, and then they started using it as a tagline. It's basically like Halo meets Portal.
Right.
It's a first-person shooter with portals, essentially. It was supposed to originally launch today, but... there's an open beta that's been running, and I think I got into one of the prior betas or the alpha or something. I don't remember, but I played it a little bit at home. I remember that. And the open beta has been going, and they've done a lot of improvements to the game. Apparently they've really like souped things up and it's running well. People are enjoying it. It has had so many active players that the servers have become like severely overloaded. Like I've been seeing people like, I can't get into it for hours. Because there's so many people trying to play. It hit like almost 200,000 concurrent players on Steam.
Damn.
I want to say. And I think they had, I don't know, 600,000 people download it like within a small time frame. So it's definitely getting some attention.
Yeah.
But basically they're saying like, hey, the game is ready to go. It's just that if we actually put this game out for sale, our servers are so bogged down that some of you are just not going to be able to play. That's just the reality. Like, some of you don't really play. So they delayed it.
Hmm.
I kind of want to talk more about the fact, like, one, we could talk about the game, of course, and this specific issue. But, oh, wait, the player count has now jumped to an impressive 2 million. And this is as of yesterday. So that's a lot. But I kind of want to talk about the idea of, like, is this a good reason to delay your game? Or in my head, I'm thinking... you don't want to have people to have bad experiences and have issues getting in the first day it's out, because then they refund it and never come back. But are they going to spend a bunch of money securing extra servers for in a month when demand goes down to be stuck with this bill?
Yeah, I was kind of talking with you about this earlier, Ben. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's been a real shift in opinion with the popular first-person shooters, and I think that people are eager to latch on to something new. I've seen that sentiment many times on the internet at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think that this has caught something at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I worry that if it takes too long, that the momentum, yeah, I agree with you, could die.
Yeah.
I have an overall problem with the game in general.
Yeah. Okay. We can talk about that too.
But that's like something different altogether. But I would be interested to see how it's been updated mostly. And that's my biggest problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's honestly a great reason to delay your game because, you know, with an experience that's so heavily multiplayer, from what I understand, mm-hmm. just literally not being able to play it or having, you know, 10-minute queue times, stuff like that, people are not going to play your game. No. Even if they do, they're going to fall off quick.
Right.
So they're going to have to strike up this perfect balance between trying to keep the lightning in the bottle and making sure the bottle doesn't explode, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So
they're spending $10 million. Well, I'm sorry. 1047 Games, which is who's making the game, is receiving $10 million in financial backing by venture firm Human Capital.
Oh, wow.
To help fund the expansion of the developers' engineering and tech support. So I don't know if that means they're taking a loan for $10 million or if they're getting it in return for points on the game or, you know, a portion of revenue or whatever.
Right.
$10 million bucks.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
I don't really know how much it should cost, but that seems like a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously this person sees something, and I can agree with that. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't just want to completely change it to what I think about the game, because I want to hear what Dave has to say about the whole delay aspect, but do you have anything to say, you think, Dave? You think it's a good idea to just, push it along, or what?
I mean, it's a great problem to have, isn't it? When your game is so popular. And the only other thing is, you know, when I first read this story, I thought, wow, they're announcing a delay, like basically the day before the game was supposed to launch. But it doesn't hurt as much considering the game is still in open beta. So it's not as bad as, like, you know, some delays. Plus, I mean, if they're willing to invest this much money and they have this much faith, or they have an investor that has this much faith, it just means that, you know, they're willing to support this thing long term. And they want to do everything they can to make it sustainable. So, I mean, that's going to give you the best product long term. I mean, it doesn't sting as bad considering it's still in open beta and you can still technically go play it. Just it's going to suck for a couple more weeks. But
I don't have any idea what this game costs to make. I mean, it's definitely high tier. Like, it doesn't. When I played it even like a year ago, it didn't run poorly or anything.
Oh, no.
But I wonder, like, $10 million, what portion of your already spent budget is that? $10 million extra just for server capabilities, essentially.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Okay, so Brandon, what are your problems with the game?
I have ran into this problem of video games that I feel copy too heavily from other things.
Uh-huh.
Like Phoenix, specifically. Breath of the Wild, Phoenix.
Yeah.
This game, Halo. I think it's so special when you could make something that is similar to things you've seen before. I've watched videos of this played recently.
Yeah.
And it looks exactly like old Halo, which is good. And I'm happy about. But I'm always left with this feeling of thinking, what can they add to it that can make it their own?
Right.
And I don't think that, you know, you should really get stuck in that space where you can't innovate and continue to grow what you have.
Right.
I think the portal aspect is interesting, but once again, just, you know, it's not like there's a market on portals. You know, anyone can use them in any game, but it just seems with the colors and just the way it was pushed to me at PAX, it just was so in my face that it was Halo meets Portal, and that sounds great, but also is just things I played before.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest complaint with it. I want to see more, though, honestly. I'm hoping there's like some really standout things about it because I've heard positive things. I'm just going to have to try it out. So,
well, it's free to play.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be crossplay.
Hell
so
yeah.
So we could play together.
I'm about that, dude.
Yeah.
Crossplay.
Yeah. I, whenever I played it in the previous, whatever the previous time I played it was, where they had like, I mean, at one point they had dropped down to like 600 concurrent players.
Yeah.
So I don't know who picked it up and started playing it that boosted it like this. But what I know, though, is that when I played originally, like the first weekend it was available, that, or the, when they sent us the information or something, it was, they had invited a bunch of like Halo pros to play.
Oh, really?
So when I was playing, I was just getting trounced completely. God. But I've seen some people who are like longtime Halo fans who have said like they got in and they were like trouncing everyone else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it just depends on, and I mean, I'm not the best at first person shooters, but I'm certainly not bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, it seems like it's got some legs, but it's also maybe got some balancing issues, perhaps.
Yeah.
That need to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of matchmaking they're going to have or anything like that. But anyway, I thought it was a different angle on a delay than we've seen in recent memory here.
Honestly, kind of a positive angle.
I think it is a positive angle because we've seen so many games, like even this year, like Outriders, that I don't even know why it needed to be server based, but that just couldn't launch because of the network issues and the overwhelming demand and everything like that.
Yeah.
And that just kind of really spoiled that game for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
In the beginning. So, yeah. All right. Death Stranding, Brandon. Ooh-wee. One of your favorite games.
Yeah.
You didn't even play it
today. I really do want to play it, though.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. Yeah, yeah. I'm positive I'm going to jump in for the director's cut. So,
Dave, did you play Death Stranding? I can't remember.
I did not, no.
I played about 30-ish hours of it, and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't enough. I didn't enjoy it enough. Like, I kept falling asleep while I was playing it, and that's not because the game was boring. It's not entirely because the game was boring, and more the fact that I was playing it at 2 and 3 a.m. in my recliner.
Yes.
You know, that's more the reason. But anyway.
Yeah.
We've been hearing for a long time from people that, like, oh, Death Stranding, you know, it didn't sell very well, and it certainly didn't make its money back and all that kind of stuff. Well, it seems we were wrong, because according to GamesIndustry.biz, Death Stranding has sold 5 million copies between PS4 and PC.
Well, quote,
speaking to GamesIndustry.biz, head of publishing Jay Bohr says the game has performed quite well, and the studio is optimistic about the release of the director's cut on PlayStation 5 in September. Quote, with Death Stranding being the first title developed out of Kojima Productions, from a sales perspective, it has performed quite well, he says. As of March 2021, Death Stranding has sold through over 5 million units worldwide on PlayStation 4 and PC. As revealed last month, the upcoming director's cut does more than just some visual improvements with new features, weapons, and modes. And while the game's central social strand feature has also been improved. I think that Death Stranding is a good game that I just got bored of, but it does, like, it's a game that's doing something that I don't feel like any other game has really done in the same way.
Yeah.
Like, it mixes walking sim with first person combat with quest, you know, fetch quest,
right,
constantly.
Yeah.
It's just a very strange mix of a lot of different things that seems to work.
Yeah. I think one of the most interesting things to me, and something I'm looking forward to, is the passive multiplayer. I think is mm-hmm. a phenomenal idea. I think the idea of somebody leaving something for you on your long journey to help you out is insanely unique.
Yeah.
And I love it. You know, hearing this news, I'm not surprised they're doing a director's cut.
No.
And I'm glad they are. Kojima's always done well, so I'm not really surprised.
Right. I think I've always had a skewed perception until maybe like the last 5 years of how many copies of a game sell. Because when you hear, like, people celebrate when a game hits like a million sold after like a year, maybe. And I always been like, that doesn't seem like very much. There's, you know, at the time, like 120 million PS4s out there in the wild. That's right. Not that great. But like, to sell a million games, unless you've spent a bajillion dollars, is like a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I don't know. Are you interested at all in Death Stranding, Dave?
I don't think so. I have stared this game down the barrel numerous times and just been afraid that I was going to spend the money and I'd be lost with the story and I'd be bored and I just didn't want to spend the time with it. Hearing you talk about it, Ben, makes me want to consider it a little bit more. But I just found as the years have gone on, Kojima's exposition has just gotten so cryptic and like not enjoyable. So like the height of his work for me was, and this is, I'm in the minority here, but my favorite Metal Gear Solid was Metal Gear Solid 2, Guns of the Pig.
Okay.
Not Guns of the Sons of Liberty.
Is that an unpopular opinion? I thought Metal Gear Solid 2 was a popular one.
No, I don't think, maybe. I mean, I thought a lot of people didn't like it because of the whole Raiden thing. But anyways, I just found like after that, it just started to get weird and it hasn't really stopped. I don't know. I'm just fearful that I'm going to spend the money and I guess it's one of those things that I'm waiting for it to hit like $20 and that's not going to happen now that there's the director's cut thing, but
I don't think you'll be able to find the old version anymore.
It's actually, I checked on PSN and it's no longer there. You can still get the digital deluxe version. But otherwise, maybe it's available on, it's got to be available on PC still, but so it's still quite expensive. If
you
walked
into a store, you could probably still find a physical copy.
I do not have a PlayStation device with a disc drive anymore.
Right. I know you don't. Yeah. Because, you know, you were insistent upon that digital device. Mm-hmm. Now you're at Sony's whim to do whatever they want you to do or not do.
Yeah. I do occasionally regret that decision, but...
Like when your sister bought you a physical game for Christmas?
Yeah, Sackboy, and I had to return it and get a PSN card.
Yeah.
Her heart was in the right place, so that's fine.
It was.
It worked out.
Speaking of games, did you guys have anything more to say about Death Stranding?
No, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Speaking of games that have, for sales numbers, hit milestones, Brandon sent me this. Mortal Kombat 11 has surpassed 12 million copies sold worldwide. And so I guess just real quick to go back to the thing I said before when I was like, 5 billion copies, that doesn't seem like a ton, but it is. When you think about the fact that Death Stranding, this, you know, it's a Kojima game, but still it's not a triple A whatever, I guess. When you think about the fact that it's hit 5 million and Mortal Kombat, one of the most giant games in existence, just surpassed 12 million copies after, 2 years? Is that right? It came out 2 years ago? Something like that.
Yeah, that sounds is about right.
They just hit 12 million. It seems like maybe that is, and it's on more than just PlayStation, right?
Yeah,
it's on Xbox. Correct. Too. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of comparable in a sense. But this story is from Game Informer. Says Mortal Kombat 11 is the latest entry in a renowned franchise that has spanned decades. The game features a sizable roster, etc. So we know a lot of this stuff, but none of the other games have reached quite this many copies, from what I understand. And what do you think it is, Brandon, since you played a lot? David, did you play Mortal Kombat? Do you like Mortal Kombat?
It was a game I grew up on, but I haven't gone back to the series now that I am mature. I think I'm too mature for it. I just haven't gone back to it.
Right.
Gotcha.
So, Brandon, what do you think it was about Mortal Kombat 11 that propelled it to such heights?
I think it was probably a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Obviously, but I don't know. I feel like they really came out swinging, literally.
Yeah.
They updated it for the new gen consoles. It looks amazing. They had a lot of really awesome partnerships this time around, as they typically do. They had a lot of action 80s heroes. They had Rambo and the Terminator and RoboCop. And the story stood out. And I feel like they've progressively developed the same formula they had from Mortal Kombat X and just took it through the roof.
Right.
And I think you would probably see that in the sales numbers too, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they found what stuck in X and then made that look prettier.
Yeah.
Made the story better and added some more cool fucking characters that everyone loves.
Yeah.
And, that's really all you really need from the Mortal Kombat. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm eager to see how the entire like the IP moves forward, not even just in games,
right?
Because they just, they're on the backs of an amazing successful movie, right? And they're on the backs of an amazing successful game.
Yeah.
And I really wonder what NetherRealm is thinking as far as, you know, our game's been successful, the movie's successful.
Right.
I'd love to see them branch out, but me saying that kind of hurts.
Right.
And I don't agree with it at the same time. It's weird because, like, you know, I want them to be in two places at once. But no, man, just excited for what's next, because I don't know that there would be much that I would improve with Mortal Kombat 11,
right,
if I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah.
I think it's a shining game.
Yeah. I play a little bit of it, but I need to dive in and play some more. Actually, Phil has a copy for me because he has two copies somehow. Maybe he has a PS4 and a PS5. No, I think he said he bought a copy and then got home and realized he already had it. Oh, no. So he was going to bring it to me.
That is like the most Phil thing I've ever heard.
That is a very Phil thing for sure. I always enjoyed Mortal Kombat games growing up, kind of like Dave said, but I haven't gotten into the recent ones. You got me into the mobile game for a while.
Oh, dude, the mobile game is like absolute garbage compared to 11.
Oh, I know.
But as far as just a tapping, you know, face recognition, you know, oh, I'm Scorpion. Oh, right. I'm, you know,
right.
Rain, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, a lot of fun all over. You know, I think they're doing great. On the mobile app, it is a little microtransaction-y.
Right.
Well, but so is apps.
You know? So was Mortal Kombat 11 when it came out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they still have the microtransactions. It's not very invasive,
okay.
At least in my opinion. I haven't been tempted a single time. And there's enough cool skins in there that you will not need it, trust me.
Right. So. Right, cool. Well, we I'm know wondering they have
How much of a... Sorry, I'm wondering how much of a presence it has on the esports scene, because we've obviously seen that kind of blow up in the past, you know, 5 to 10 years. So yeah, I don't know if it's up there with like the Street Fighters and Tekkens and stuff like that, but I mean, given how popular esports is now, maybe that has something to do with its recent successes specifically.
Yeah. No, it's definitely in Evo this year. So, and I believe it was the prior year as well. I think they made or maybe even the one before that. They definitely made the switch over as soon as that came out.
Right.
I know that. And the competitive scene was lit. The one guy that always dresses up. Do you know the furry guy I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He won a shit ton of tournaments. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like it was kind of in its prime then. And I'm excited to see, you know, some new faces pop up.
Sure.
And enjoy this newer version of the game.
Yeah. So. And they're working on whatever's next for NetherRealm too.
Yeah.
They quit development. They announced they were done with development on Mortal Kombat 11. They weren't going to support it anymore.
Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah. There's a lot of content, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's an entire, you know, essentially another half of the story you can buy right. with a bunch of new characters, like a bunch of new characters. So, you know, that game has seen it through to the end and, you know, they're ready to move on. Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Keep talking about sales numbers here. Let's do it. Dave, why don't you take this one? You brought this to my attention and I had seen this earlier, but I don't know why I didn't put it in. About the Xbox, the Series consoles.
Yeah, so this comes from Games Radar, and basically they have reported earlier today that the Xbox Series X and S are Microsoft's fastest selling consoles yet.
Wow.
Just surprising because I still can't get a Series X, can't find one anywhere. So according to the news story, we estimate that the Xbox Series X / S total sell was 6.5 million as of June 30th, 2021. That's compared to our estimate of 5.7 million for Xbox One and 5 million for Xbox 360 in the same time frame. So that's, you know, they're also saying that their hardware revenue is up 20%. So I guess as these pieces of hardware are becoming more and more available, as we get towards holiday, the Xbox Series S and X are really picking up steam and they're proving to be successful. And I don't know if this is part of the part of the actual article, but from what I understand, and my source on this one is Dude Trust Me, is apparently the Xbox Series S specifically has been selling quite well, relatively well in Japan, which is a market that Microsoft has always had a hard time in. So it's good to see that the competition between Sony and Microsoft, you know, maybe heating up quite a bit, because obviously last generation, it really just wasn't much of a competition at all. But Ben, I can't remember if we talked about this. Yeah, we did talk about this last week. So you finally got your hands on the Series S. How's the experience so far?
I'm enjoying it. I haven't had nearly as much time to play it as I would like. But yeah, I was able to grab one just like shortly after we talked about it originally, maybe on the show. And I like it. I mean, first of all, you see a lot of pictures and people saying this online, but like, I did not realize how small it was going to be until I opened the box and there it was. And I was like, wow, I can palm this thing, which I can't remember the last console I could do that with. Maybe like the PS1, you could like, I don't mean like, you know, hold it up and down. I mean like
literally
palm the whole thing.
Palm that shit.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's really nice. It fits, you know, almost anywhere you want to put it. Without having anything to compare it to, well, without having a Series X to compare it to, I can't say for sure, but like it looks great. It seems to run great. I notice a little bit of lag compared to my computer, but that's to be expected. My computer is way more powerful than even the Series X would be to some degree. So I'm enjoying it. Obviously, you know, Game Pass is great, but that doesn't really necessarily directly relate to the Xbox Series S. But Dave, you said about not being able to find one in stores. We were at, believe it or not, of all places, we were at Walmart in Grove City, which is about an hour north of us, maybe not even quite that far, on our way up to a little trip we took last weekend. And Dustin, Phil, and I saw a Series S on the shelf at Walmart. It's the first new gen console I've seen on display. And I thought I should buy this and give it to Dave, but then I thought, how am I going to see him? It's going to cost me more than the thing costs to send it to him,
right? So, dude, I can't believe you saw it in the wild. That's actually kind of nuts.
Phil almost bought it. I talked him out of it because he has a Series X, and I said, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is.
He also tried to buy a Fast and the Furious Lego set, and I wouldn't let him do that.
Good Lord.
Either.
Family.
Yeah.
See, when I hear these numbers, it makes me curious.
Yeah.
I wonder, and this isn't me poo-pooing the numbers.
Sure.
I want the competition. Makes everything better. But I wonder if the Game Pass machine strategy is a part of this equation.
Absolutely.
Or, and there's no way to know for sure, but I really wish I could know.
Yeah.
Or if it's, you know, everyone's so hungry for the new consoles. It's obviously a mixture of both.
Sure.
But I would love to see like analytics, you know, hey, we're pushing ads on Game Pass a ton this month.
Right.
How many numbers do we think we acquired from this?
True.
Yeah. I would love to see those stats because I'm really interested because I feel like Sony and Microsoft have really kind of switched how they push things. And I think that it's smart for Xbox what they're doing. I really do.
Right.
And I'd love to see them continue to, you know, collect the fruit from what they've sowed.
I can't tell you 100% across the industry how this is working. But for me, if I did not have Game Pass Ultimate, or actually I had Game Pass and I just for PC and I upgraded the $5 or whatever to Ultimate, if that didn't exist, there's no chance I would have bought an Xbox this generation. And I almost didn't. The real reason that I bought it, I guess, is so that I could play Game Pass games on my couch.
Yeah.
Or on the recliner, as opposed to sitting at the computer. But for me, it was definitely the main factor. And well, if I buy this, I literally don't have to buy a game again if I don't want to.
Right.
Like with the PlayStation, you buy it and you don't buy a game. Well, you don't play anything unless you're just playing PlayStation Plus games.
Right.
But with Game Pass, it's like anytime I want to play a game that's on Game Pass, I just download it and I play it. Like I don't have to pay anything extra.
Right.
So that definitely drove it for me. I think there is a console hunger as well, but I didn't have that. I mean, I like new hardware. Everybody likes new hardware. But for me, it was literally just like, oh, there's games I could be playing that I'm not playing.
Right. The only reason I think that there still is the hunger, and obviously these Twitters are meant for this sort of thing.
Sure.
But the tweets are still flying out daily for restocks from a lot of sites.
Yeah.
And that makes me think that a lot of people still don't have them.
Absolutely.
If they weren't getting engagement on those posts, you're...
Well, they're selling out immediately when they post.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely...
Yeah.
Definitely interesting.
For sure. Dave, so you're still considering just getting an S and not an X?
Yeah, I think I'm actually leaning S now because I thought more about what I said to you previously, how, you know, I'm expecting there to be a mid-gen upgraded Xbox device. And, you know, maybe at that point, that's when I'll jump to sort of the premium model. But I'm really jealous that you have the device in hand now, just because there's this... There's this new action RPG coming out called The Ascent. I think it comes out on the 30th.
Tomorrow.
It's like 30th, a twin stick like Diablo type game. But I look at these numbers and I think the easy thing to sort of say is that, you know, the market has just grown. But it's still pretty crazy to think that Xbox has sold all these next gen devices with literally no next gen exclusive titles. So that really just suggests that the mainstream gamers are really starting to understand the sheer value that comes with Game Pass. And that's what's really pushing these devices out the door.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think like maybe a month ago or more, we got numbers from PlayStation. And I think they had crossed the 7 million mark for PS5, which of course was, you know, I think they had headlines of fastest console ever, fastest selling console ever, and it was beating all the records and stuff. So for Game Pass not to be, or not Game Pass, for Xbox not to be lagging that far behind the previous industry leader, maybe it's just a matter of supply and demand, maybe it's whatever, but I think by the end of the gen, you might see more Xbox hardware sold than PlayStation.
Yeah.
Even once they catch up and demand is equal and you can literally walk into a Target and see one on the shelf and buy it, no problem. I think a lot of people are going to have the same mentality that I had and say, well, I have my PlayStation. I might as well also buy a Game Pass machine, essentially.
Yeah.
Not that there aren't games for the Xbox eventually going to come out. We know that. But like...
You're buying on the promise of old. At least at the moment.
It's so wild to me that I don't have to think, like, I don't know. It's just, it almost feels wrong, the fact that, like, any of the future coming first-party studio games that are going to come out, I don't have to buy them.
Yeah.
I'm always nice, thinking about, like, what games am I going to actually have to spend $70 for in the next 3 months that I have to have? And when I look at Xbox, it's like, eh.
Doesn't matter.
I might buy this indie game for $10.
Yeah.
That isn't on Game Pass, but even that is kind of getting rarer and rarer. So I think that's all the news we have. Guys, do you want to just talk for a few minutes about some games we've been playing and stuff?
Sure.
Yep.
Dave, start it off. What have you been doing?
So I jumped back into Call of Duty Cold War quite a bit.
Nice.
The past few weeks. I also started... back up playing Sackboy before he officially became a communist by association.
Right.
man, that game is good. I think I told you guys last year that I just by sheer chance was playing that game at the same time as Super Mario Odyssey. And I gotta say, Sackboy is so much more enjoyable than Super Mario Odyssey. And maybe... I don't know what it is, but that game does so much cool stuff with music and how it interacts with level. I think the first time I played it's one of the first levels in the first world where it's like set to a Bruno Mars song. I was just like, this is so cool. Like, it's corny and it's silly, but it's just so much fun. And then as you play through the game, you hit these levels with like these licensed songs and stuff like that. And it's just... It is so charming that you can't help but have a massive smile on your face when you're playing. So
nice. I'm excited to play it. The kids keep asking me, when am I going to play it? And I'm like, well, once I play some other stuff, I need to play it. But it's just sitting there in the plastic still.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm having a blast with that. And it's the sort of thing where like I jump in and I, it's my game for like a few days and then I'll put it down and I won't play it for a few weeks or months or whatever. And then I'll just jump back in whenever I want to play something light. And I think I told you that like after finishing Demon's Souls, I'm like, I need something mindless to play because Demon's Souls was too stressful. Not too stressful, but you know, I needed an easier experience. So that was perfect.
It's like a palate cleanser.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Ben was saying like, oh, Ratchet & Clank is the perfect thing for that. And I agreed. But then I realized that I had Sackboy sitting on my hard drive there. So sitting on my hard drive.
And
then
we've all had that.
Well, the digital model is way different, apparently.
And then 2 days ago, I came across Metro Exodus on sale. So I picked that up. That's a game I've been eyeing for quite a long time. So I'm just in the early hours of that game and I'm having a good time with it. I think it does a lot of cool stuff with tone and setting and it being the third game in the series. It was the first one that sort of experimented with, semi open worlds. And as bad as the voice acting seems to be initially, they have somehow found a way to make the characters like lovable and endearing. I wasn't expecting that, but early on I'm digging Metro Exodus. So I don't know. Have you guys played that game?
No.
No, I haven't. I played a little bit of it back when we got it for what's the newest Metro game? Is that Metro Exodus?
Exodus, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think I played a little bit of it back when we got it for review for Handsome Phantom on PC, but I didn't play a lot of it at all. But why did I think that game was a PlayStation Plus game at one point?
Maybe one of the Metros was.
Maybe that's
it. It could have been. I don't know.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons I got it was because it had a PS5 booster upgrade or whatever, so... that certainly, I think it has ray tracing and that kind of stuff. So it certainly looks pretty for a game that's, I don't know, almost 2 years old now. So,
right. One of the things that you said there, about the voice acting, just reminded me that somebody was saying that like, you'll be talking and like the voices don't seem like they're synced up. And I wonder if that is something to do with, they tied the dialogue lines to certain things in the game, and then when they translated it to English, that certain things didn't match up anymore. That's not indicative of what you were saying about the actual voice acting itself, but I just found that interesting to think about, like, if they tied dialogue lines to certain, maybe cinematics or whatever, that it would mess up that a little bit. So I don't know. I haven't played it, so I don't know specifically what people are addressing, but yeah, it's a game I kind of want to play, but also I'm with you. I haven't played the previous games and I'm kind of like, not that you need to, I don't think, but I'll get around to it eventually. We'll see.
Yeah. I've been struggling with Returnal a little bit.
Oh.
I think that the reason that this game is appealing to me is because it feels like other things.
Okay.
And I've talked about that before. But in games like Dark Souls, I have a very defined way of doing things. And when I find it efficient, I continue to do those things.
Right.
RNG doesn't really allow me to do that efficiently.
True.
So I've really struggled with that aspect of the game recently. I've kind of fallen back a little bit. I'm not done with it by any means.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to pick it back up. But it's definitely, like Dave said, less fun, happy-go-lucky type of game like Dark Souls. So I kind of keep myself at arm's length because I don't want to burn out. But playing a little bit of that, I'm off the heels of RE8 and I'm hungry for something else. And so I started playing back up Resident Evil 3.
Okay.
It has, I believe, some uncapped frame rates. So I was enjoying being able to play it in beautiful 60 frames a second.
Right.
I've never finished that. I've played probably about the first third of that game.
Uh-huh.
And so I just started afresh and started up the journey again to try and quench that thirst that RE8 gave me.
Nice.
So that's really about it. I'm not really going to talk about Call of Duty because I kind of just play that in between everything else. So.
Right. I have also been playing Returnal, And today, actually, I beat, what was it today? I don't know, this week sometime, I beat the first boss.
Nice.
I haven't got to play it as much as I want, but finally I was able to play, to beat the first boss. And then you go right into the next biome or whatever they call it, level.
Right.
And I got through there, and I got to the next boss, like, in my first try.
Yeah.
I died almost immediately because my health was low going in. I was just kind of exploring. I had just come off the first level, whatever. But then I jumped back in immediately just to do one more run and try to go directly to the second level. Is it, am I mistaken, or do you have to go through the first biome to get to the second biome?
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
That's rough.
And you can get completely lost in the first one. So I've not paid attention enough before and went the wrong way and got entangled in a massive network of hallways that did not lead to the next biome.
Wait, so it, after you beat the first biome, or is it the same layout every time?
I think it changes every time, to my knowledge. There's like some things you'll recognize, but I never find myself knowing where I'm going exactly, ever.
Wild.
I think there is a bit of randomness to that, at least from what I've found.
Well, there is in your initial first run,
or
first biome. Yeah.
But I've kept going back, and like, it's not like I'm like, oh, this part's through this doorway. Nope.
Huh.
It's just, yeah. So
I was not expecting that.
Yeah. And it's cool because you can, once again, that game is filled with risk reward.
Right.
So certainly you can explore old caverns to get gear to get you set up for the next biome, but that entails you risking your own fate
right.
in the process. I mean, there was many times when I was trying to help my chances at World 2 by doing World 1 some more and died in World 1 again. So, definitely interesting to not know exactly what's going on all the time. I kind of find that to, like, it keeps me on my toes, but it is a little bit aggravating, I gotta admit.
So is that, I mean, I don't know how far you are in the game, but like, when I'm in biome 4, am I going to have to go through 1 through 3 to get to 4?
I'm one boss past you.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm excited to play that some more. It really got me. Like, once I have done a couple runs, like every couple days over the last couple weeks since I got it back. And once I beat the first boss, I was like, okay, I was never going to stop, but like, now I'm like itching to get back to it. Whereas before I was just like playing it while I could. I also played Chris Tales.
Okay.
Which I've only played like maybe 3 or 4 hours of that. Came to Game Pass. There's not a lot to say about it, except if you're thinking it's not the game for you, give it a shot. It's turn-based, very much so. There is some exploration too, of course, you know, before you get to the battles that are turn-based. I like it because it's got like a time mechanic, and I love anything to do with time manipulation, movies, games, anything.
Right.
And so you can like either progress things forward or backwards in time to make them to your advantage. So like the example I'll give is like one of the very first boss, like almost the tutorial phase, is they have a shield and you have to spray water on them in the current day and then send them into the future. And when they go into the future, like, so current day that you can't break their shield, but if you send them into the future, their shield's a little bit rusty and you can break through it.
Gotcha.
So like that's kind of how the time manipulation works. And maybe there's way more mechanics to that in the future, in further into the game. I don't know for sure, but right. I mean, it's a Game Pass game, day one Game Pass. I played this, they debuted it at E3 a couple years ago, and I was able to check it out then. And it's kind of one of those titles I've been eagerly awaiting.
Right.
What I'm thinking with this one, though, is I'm going away for a few days for some family obligations, family reunion, all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking that this might be a game that I can play on cloud gaming.
Oh, okay.
Because I can't play like normal minute-to-minute, you know, action-to-action games
right.
on digital. I just can't do it. But this and Slay the Spire might be two games that I can play mobily on mobile, because they're not highly dependent upon reaction times.
Right.
There is a little bit of reaction time stuff in Chris Tales for blocking and whatnot, but
a little slower pace
that, you know, you get to balance out what you're doing and when you're doing it. I think that's all the new stuff I've been playing. Of course, I'm always on other grinds, but we know how that goes. That's it. That's the games we've been playing.
Wow.
That's the news of the week.
That's the show.
That's the show.
All right.
What do you think Phil's been playing? Apart from With Our Hearts.
Huh. Yeah, definitely With Our Hearts.
Phil's go-to is Yakuza, so I gotta say that. But
he told me the other day he started playing something and it didn't stick with him. I can't remember what it was though. Oh, Dave, this one's for you. I also played, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hours total, maybe not even that long, of the show on Xbox.
Sweet.
Which is really funny to think about. Basically, I just been doing the career mode.
I had to say something because I did listen to the show last week, and you said something interesting about it feeling like an RPG.
Yeah.
And it harkened back to that article I wrote about how surprised I was about how deep MLB's The Show's sort of like road to the show was in terms of being an actual RPG. So yeah, as soon as you said that, I was like, cool. I'm glad that resonated with someone else.
Yeah.
It is really cool that like all the little things they do to sort of make you feel like you're really crafting your own player and how your performance really dictates what you grow into. So yeah,
this is not at all reflective on you or your article, but I forgot you wrote that until just now. And you're right. Now that you say that, I remember that. And it's exactly right.
Yeah, when you didn't bring up the article, I screamed and punched a wall because I was like,
right.
Fuck that
damn
guy, man.
Damn, dude.
That's a pretty common reaction to people hearing me speak, I think.
Are you playing as the Pittsburgh Pirates or do you...
No, I did like it drafts you onto a team.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Right.
Who'd you get drafted to?
The Curve, the Altoona Curve.
I'm sorry?
That's a double A team.
Oh,
so who's
okay.
who's their MLB affiliate?
I don't remember now. I thought it for a while it was the Pirates, but maybe it's not anymore.
I have to look that up.
All right, look it up for a second. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm terrible at it. I'm bad. And I'm still trying to figure out the systems. Like sometimes I hit like play next appearance and I'm like, wait, why am I just catching the ball and then the whole game's over? Did I have one at-bat appearance? Like, I don't know. It just sometimes that's weird.
Damn.
Yeah. So if you play your cards right and if you bat well, Ben, and you move up through the ranks of double A and then triple A, you will be called up to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
So no shit. No.
And
shit.
I totally did the random one too. Yeah. I don't know if I want to be on the Pirates.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Got to be honest with you there. I did play a couple like exhibition games as the Pirates before I started the Road to the Show or whatever. And wowzer, the stats on those teams is bad in that game. They're like 27 out of 30.
Oh, Lord.
Ranked, I think. So, which is better than I would rank them in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, boys. I think that's it for the show. No pun intended. Thanks for tuning in out there. Again, head over to the Patreon and check it out. Give us $1 a month if you want. If you don't, we appreciate you. We like having you around. Everybody, whether you're a patron or not, can join the Discord over at handsomephantom.com/Discord. We'll see you there. See you next time.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by our producers over at patreon.com. You can be a producer by visiting patreon.com/handsomephantom. Adaholic, Passive Pixels, Edwin Castillo, Fusebro, Boots, Poot, Jared, Felix Check, Josh Cummings, Edward Walton, Charles Peterson, Toby Ryland, Straw Hat Ninja, Michael J. Sutherland, Jared Cavalero, Jason Canham, and Kevin Lucas.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.